series called The Essential Jesus, and he is essential. Without Jesus, we're lost, really. And this is one of those stories that really emphasizes that fact. Without Jesus, we're lost. He's essential to the life that we enjoy. The title of this message comes from words of Jesus that he spoke to Martha. He said, "I am the resurrection." Now, Jesus was a humble man. And so throughout his ministry, he didn't go around saying, "I'm the Messiah, I'm the Christ." He didn't just do that. You know, we talk a little bit about some of these confessions where other people were saying, "I am the, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God." But Jesus didn't go around volunteering that information. You know, how do you throw that into a conversation anyway? You know, you're making small talk, you know, it's a beautiful day. Isn't it great the weather we're having? Did you realize that Lake Travis is almost full? They say it's like 18 inches from being full. And I'm the resurrection and the Christ. You know, how do you throw that in there? Oh, by the way, I'm the Messiah. Just thought I needed to communicate that with you. It kind of reminds me of the first big Batman movie. I'm not talking about the stuff with Adam West. I'm talking about the first one with, you know, Jack Nicholson as the Joker. And who was Batman? Who played Batman? Michael Keaton. And Michael Keaton's trying to figure out how to tell his girlfriend that, by the way, I had that written in my notes, but I just wanted to know if you knew. Michael Keaton wants to tell his girlfriend, and he's Batman, so he's practicing in front of the mirror. How do you communicate those things? I'm the Messiah. Vote for me. You know. But Jesus is God in the flesh. He is the Christ. He is the resurrection, and he is the life. So let's pick the story up here in John chapter 11. If you would turn with me there, John chapter 11. And we're going to start with verse 20, and it reads like this. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. We'll get to that. Then Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" And she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." I have some really shocking news to share with you today. Truly shocking. Something you may not recover from. Something I found out at IHOP. That's the International House of Pancakes. If you are 55 years or older, they consider you a senior citizen, and they will give you food at a discounted price. Just go in there and look, because almost everybody in there is taking advantage of that great deal that you can get if you're over 55. And here's the really, really bad news. I mean, it seems like bad news, but I qualify for that discount, which means that according to IHOP, I am officially old. Officially old. I remember when time was passing so slowly. I never thought I would ever get out of first grade. Can anybody relate to that? It's like, will they ever let us loose for summer? You know? But as you get older, you talk to people, and they will tell you that life just seems to be getting, you know, it seems to speed up. Talk to almost any older person, they'll go, "Life just went by so fast." And it does. The fact that I'm considered an older person led me to do a little bit of research. The average life expectancy for men living in the United States is 76 years old. That means that I don't have time If I fit the average, I don't have time to take out a 20-year mortgage and expect to have it paid off before I die, which means we should take lots of loans out right now. You know, how much can you give me? You know, that's what we need to go. How much will you give us on our house? Okay, you know, we'll, you know, but then, you know, it comes to that day of reckoning. You've passed 76 and you're still alive. And you ran out of money. Our world tour came to an end. No more sleeping in the Fiji Islands. That's kind of where I'd like to land. Okay, let's go on. Although I expect to live for some time to come, I know two things for sure. Firstly, I'm a mortal creation, and I have no guarantee of how long I will live. Actually, it doesn't matter what your age is. You're sitting here today, you have no guarantee of how long you're going to live. The second thing that I understand is that my death is on the horizon. In other words, for me, I am closer to the end than I am to the beginning. My birth's over here. I've traveled quite a ways down the timeline, and I'm looking at the end on the horizon. Now, let me tell you what bothers me the most about this scenario. As time marches forward relentlessly, and my life surges towards its conclusion, I'm experiencing a profound loss as many of the people that have been important in my life are passing away. The losses are beginning to pile up. They're beginning to become significant to me. As a young minister, I was primarily mentored by four men: Dr. Walter Martin, Dr. Linfield Crowder, Dr. Gary Bryant, all these doctors, and Larry Donahue, my grandfather. And three of the four men have passed away. When Jody and I got married, all eight of our grandparents were there. Let's go to the next slide. There are three of them. The photographer, let's go to the next slide. I put that slide in there because Jody's beautiful. Come on. Jody's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Woo! Thriller! No. Let's go to the next slide. There's my grandfather, Donahue. Last slide there. Next one. This is actually the day after we got married. We came back to open presents and to hang out with all eight grandparents. And there they are, all sitting at the table. I spent a lot of my summers with my grandma and grandpa Donahue. And so when I think about them, I feel the loss. Several of the guys I went to college with are no longer a phone call away. At this point, it's Randy Clark, Tom Newman, Stan Tatro, Dwayne Jordan, Mike Kimmelshue, Steve Taylor, Bob Ferguson, all gone. They were all friends, can't call them up. Two of my friends and fellow elders here at the church this last year have lost their fathers. In fact, last week, one of the fathers passed away. And to top it off, I personally lost two friends recently, Larry Medcalf and Jim Maxwell, who were a part of this church at one time and a constant source of encouragement. They were guys that prayed for me and let me know all the time that they believed in me. So I look at all these losses that are piling up, and I find it somewhat depressing. And I even look at Scripture, and it tells me that there is a time appointed for us to die, and after we die, the judgment. Wow. Doesn't make you feel like partying, does it? No wonder Martha and Mary were upset with Jesus. They sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, and Jesus shows up after the brother is already dead. How upset were they? Mary, who happens to be the sister who had extravagantly poured perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet off with her hair. She was so upset with Jesus that when she found out that Jesus was almost there, she didn't even go out to see him. She didn't want to have anything to do with him. She was angry. She was giving Jesus the silent treatment. How many of you know what that's like? That's how upset she was. So our text records that when Jesus approached, he had a conversation with Martha. And this is how it went. Here's Martha. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." And Jesus responds, "Your brother will rise again." I don't know about you, but I'm kind of impressed with Martha's faith. First, she expresses her faith in Jesus by mildly chastising him. "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." This is an obvious statement that Martha believed in Jesus' ability to heal. She had evidently witnessed his power to heal in action. So she's convinced that the mere presence of Jesus being there would have prevented her brother from dying. And then Martha doubles down on Jesus and she says this, "But even now, I know that God will give you anything that you ask." So once again, Martha is expressing faith. She still knows that Jesus can save her brother from death. How many of you know that raising someone from the dead, someone who's been dead for a number of days, is impossible? This is one of the reasons that we are a people of hope. You know, here you have Martha expressing faith in Jesus to do the impossible. And we're people of hope because Jesus, his own words, he said, "With God, all things are possible." Would you say that with me? "With God, all things are possible." That's not me saying it. I would never say something like that. That's Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, saying it. The Lord of the church, the head of the church, saying it. That with God, all things are possible. That makes us, above all people, very, very optimistic. This is our first line of defense against a world that would rob us of our joy. We've all faced or will face situations that in human terms could only be considered one thing, and that is hopeless. We hear news that brings us dread, worry, and fear. And even in the face of the impossible, the people of God can stand resolute because we serve a God that makes all things possible. I stood here, right here, 2 weeks before Larry Metcalf passed away, and I had a conversation with him. And he said to me, "RJ, I'm saying goodbye." We said, "You're getting ready to leave?" He goes, "No, I'm saying goodbye for the last time. I know that I'm never going to make it back here." Then he went on to say some interesting things here. He said, he smiles and he says, "Don't be sad. I've lived a full life. And please know that I haven't lost hope. I will either be healed and it'll be a miracle, or even better, I will go and be with the Lord." We, above all things, are people of great hope. The worst thing that can happen to us, we step through the door from this life into the next life. That's hope. That's the blessed hope. Jesus whispers hope to Martha. "Your brother will rise again." Now, Martha responds to Jesus with an answer that you would expect from a good Orthodox Jew. She says this, "I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." This tells us that Martha believed in the resurrection. In that time of history, the Jews were divided over the issue of the afterlife. The Pharisees believed that when the Messiah came to rule over this earth, that everybody that had died in good standing with the Jewish faith would be resurrected by the Messiah. They would have a bodily resurrection and they would live again. Now, there was another group called the scribes, and they were more the secular sect of the Jews, and they believed that there might be life after death, but they weren't sure what it would look like, you know, that you might just be floating around, or maybe you'd be reincarnated, and they didn't believe in a bodily resurrection. So Martha is expressing that she's an Orthodox Jew, and that she believes that Lazarus will one day be resurrected by the Messiah. And then Jesus slips this in. Well, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? What an amazing claim. Without a doubt, Jesus is either the real deal or, like C.S. Lewis said, he's a lunatic. Do you know what he's saying here? He is declaring himself to be the resurrection and the life, and according to Jewish tradition and scripture, the only one who could be the resurrection and the life was the Christ. So he is outing himself, yes, I am the Christ, I am the Son of the living God, I am the real thing. A.W. Tozer wrote the following words. Without doubt, we've suffered the loss of many spiritual treasures because we have let slip the simple truth that the miracle of the perpetuation of life is in God. Be assured that God did not create life and toss it from him like some petulant artist disappointed with his work. All life is in him and out of him, flowing from him and returning to him again, a moving, indivisible sea of which he is the fountainhead. Let me read some scriptures that talk about the life that comes from God and from Jesus specifically. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The Apostle Paul declares, but we know that there is only one God, the Father, who created everything, and we live for him. And there is only one Lord, Christ Jesus, through whom God made everything and through whom we have been given life. Once again, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones and kingdoms, rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. And John finally records the words that Jesus said to Thomas. Thomas, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come through the Father but by me. Life is found in the Christ. Let me tell you why life is hopeless without Christ. Because life flows from Christ. He is the life of creation. He is the force that breathes life into existence. He is the force that sustains life. He's the force that offers eternal life. John broke it down like this. He said, and this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the God's Son does not have life. In Jesus, we have life. Without Jesus, we're just waiting for the end. Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. With that confession, Martha knows that she is looking at the only hope that Lazarus has. Even now, days after Lazarus has died, Martha is convinced that Jesus can do the impossible, and her faith was not unfounded or off mark. Because what Martha didn't know was something that Jesus had already communicated to his disciples. When Jesus heard about Lazarus, he didn't hurry. He let Lazarus die. And he said to his disciples, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Jesus had a plan. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but Jesus has a plan for you. You will live exactly how long Jesus has in mind for you. Isn't that kind of comforting to know? He has a plan for us. And at the end of his plan, he simply has a door for you to open up and step into the next life. And he will be there to greet you and say, "Welcome, thou good and faithful servant." He has a plan. For Lazarus, Jesus has a plan. It's a kind of a cool plan. Now's the moment of truth. Jesus asked to be taken to the place where Lazarus is entombed. Mary now joins with Martha, and they lead Jesus to Lazarus. And they're joined by this entourage of friends and relatives and disciples and Jewish leaders and skeptics. How many of you believe that most of the people there were skeptics? Jesus is moved by the sorrow that surrounds him, and he grieves and he weeps as they continue to the gravesite. And finally they arrive, and Jesus asks them to remove the stone where Lazarus has been placed. And Martha responds, "Lord, he's been dead for 4 days. And it's not going to smell good." And Jesus gently reminds Martha of her faith that she's already expressed. This is what I like about Jesus. And this is what you need to know. Our Lord has lots of grace for you. And this is one of those times he's showing grace to Martha. "Lord, don't you know that it's going to smell really bad?" "Martha, I'm aware of that. But would you see the glory of God? Would you like to see that confession that you had that even now God will give me anything that I ask? Would you consider that?" And I can see hope bursting on her faith. And Jesus says a short prayer, "Father, glorify your Son that he might bring glory to you." "Lazarus, come forth." Now, if you're interested in establishing your spiritual credentials, go and raise people from the dead. You know, if Lazarus comes out of the grave, it means that Jesus is the real deal, that he is who he claims to be, that he's the Messiah, because only the Messiah can resurrect people. It's exclusively the territory of the Messiah, the Christ. If Lazarus continues to be a dead corpse, it means that Jesus is a fraud. Everybody's watching. Wait, wait, there's movement. No way, if it was back in the 70s. No way. Dude, can you see? If it were the 60s, that's groovy. No, we don't want to go back to the 60s. Terrible. Lazarus walks out of the tomb. And he's alive, he doesn't smell bad, he's smiling, and with tears running down their cheeks, Mary and Martha run to their brother who's alive. The friends and family and disciples begin to praise God. Everyone who witnessed this event knows one thing for certain: Jesus has the power to raise people from the dead, and no one can do that but the Messiah. Fast forward 2,000 years, and I'm standing here, and like Martha, I'm mourning the death of friends, colleagues, and family members. And the question in my mind is, will I ever sit down and have another philosophical conversation with my grandfather? Will I ever have the opportunity to sing for Larry Metcalf? Will I ever run across fields and under trees with Randy Clark? Will I ever laugh at another one of Walter Martin's awful jokes? And they were awful. Sorry, Walter. They were terrible. Will I ever have the chance to hold my grandmother Donahue's hand and say, you invested in me. Thank you. I love you. Thank you for that. There is not a shred of hope that I will see any of those that have died, except there is a Messiah. Except Jesus. But listen to my confession this morning. I believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. I believe that Jesus is the rock of my salvation. I believe that to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. I believe that the trumpet will sound and that the dead in Christ will be resurrected. I believe that Jesus is our hope, that Jesus is the way, and that Jesus is the life. Amen. Would you please stand with me?